This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the WTOP podcast. Thank you for joining. It's been a while. We've had our week, international week off, which we seem to be having a lot of. There seems to be a lot of international breaks. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Probably it's not great.
No, we haven't got one until March now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is there more or is it just me?
March. March is the next one. Anyway. It feels like it's been a lot, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so before we crack on to a very quiet QPR week, which has been very odd, but let's, who we got on the pod today? We've got Jack Suppleback. Jack, travelling Europe, how are you, mate?
No, I'm good, thank you, mate. Nice to be on. I'm quiet by QPR standards, wasn't it, compared to the week or so before? But the last pod I remember being on with Cifuentes joining that night, but... Yeah, we'll preview a few bits, I guess, for this weekend, and hopefully we can get that first win.
Where have you been, mate? You've been to Milan?
What? Just Milan, mate. You Paris. Are blowing this out of proportion. obviously, my other half is Italian, so we do have to make the occasional trip back. So, yeah, you make it sound like I'm a jet setter, but really not.
okay, fair enough. Welcome back, mate, anyway. Chris, you all right, bud?
All good, boys. Happy to be back on discussing all of the exciting elements around QPR, which very few of those are actually happening on the pitch. Definitely not
you're
after that Bristol City
game
anyway.
Role, mate.
I am.
Podcast role. I don't know how many you've been on in a row, but it's like...
We'll get to those Johan Barbe levels of consecutive appearances. I'm not sure anybody. Yes, maybe Samfield. No, Samfield misses too many games through suspension now, doesn't he?
You just need to injure Duncan, and then you can get longer back the streak.
Duncan needs streaks, to fall out with the manager, I think.
It is. You haven't missed one yet, have you?
I haven't missed one. It's obviously like Chris has been loaned in. So we loaned Bradley out.
he's not returned, does he? Good.
Is he the Charlie Kelman?
He's on the transfer list.
Yeah. Doug,
hello,
mate. You good?
Yeah, not too bad.
You sure you're happy? Sad? What? Where are you at?
In the middle. just getting by.
You're in the middle.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Right, lads. Like I said, really quiet QPR week, which is very un-QPR like. But we haven't spoken about sort of really. Marty in the last couple of games, I think, the last pod we did. Two draws, 1-1, 0-0. I can't remember. Did we do Rotherham? I can't remember. But anyway, let's focus on Bristol City. I was there. It's difficult, really, because I didn't see a lot different. I mean, we were better when we had the ball, if I'm honest. But and defensively, we were a little bit better. But going forward... I didn't see too much difference. And I don't know whether that's Marty or that's just the fact of the options he's got, but it kind of makes me a bit worried that, you know, there's a lot of games to play before the January window. I don't know if we've even got any money to bring anyone in, but my massive worry with this football team is that we just do not have any goals anywhere within the team. And I just don't know, it's about how well you defend. Doesn't matter how well you pass the ball, if you don't create chances, I don't understand any football matches. Jack, I'm going to bring you in here, mate, because you haven't been on for a couple of weeks. What's your thoughts, mate?
Yeah, I mean, it's a small sample size, but under Cifuentes, got 55% possession average across the two games and 520 passes per game versus Ainsworth, who this season we're averaging about 39% and 373 passes. So definite uptick. And as you say, we've got more chance of scoring if we've got more of the ball, in my opinion. You know, I think if we can control games and we can get, you know, negotiate the ball in the final third for sustained periods, we've got a good chance of, you know, turning a few goals in. But I agree with you. I'm worried that there is, you know, you look at our forward options and we've covered that many times and you just can't see where they're going to come from. I think we're going to be relying on midfielders to be chipping in with four or five goals each. You know, Dizelle's on the way. Chair didn't score under Ainsworth in 23 games, scores in his first game, under the new manager. You know, it was a shame. I think if Chair was there, Bristol City, I thought we might have sneaked it. Maybe he could have made a difference. I was watching that game thinking, lack a bit of cohesiveness going forward. And he, you know, the stats in his time at QPR, he knits the play together. He's involved in everything, in all the sequences, in all the open play moves that go towards shots and goals. He's in the thick of it. But back at that bottom line, 11 goals from 16 league games this season is our joint lowest ever goal return at this stage of a league season, along with 1924-1925. Yeah.
Good year, that one.
Yeah, it took a couple of seasons to look back at that one. But, you know, yeah, there are green shoots for sure with how we are playing. Some players look happier, but we still got to get a bit more out of the likes of Willock, you know. Sam Field could chip in with a few more goals. He's capable from set pieces. I mean, and then we got, I'm sure we'll cover Dykes in more detail later, but it doesn't fill me with confidence at the moment. But he's running on he's still got a bit of credit, I think, it with supporters because of the way he came back so quickly from his illness at the start of the year. But that's, we're not a charity. We need goals from him, really. But yeah, I'm like you, mate, worried, but I think it'll be very interesting to see how Norwich pans out in terms of, are we at least going to get some shots on target? You know, we didn't push the city, did we? And if you're not going to test the keeper, you are not going to score.
Dykes is a really interesting one. I was going to mention it later, but as you brought it up, I guess I'd open it up to the floor. I've never been a massive Dykes fan. I don't not like him. It's unfair to say that. I feel like he can offer something, but when he is your main striker, I think you're really in trouble. Whilst I think he does his fair share in the air and he does the best he can do and he works hard, but ultimately, you need your number nine to score goals, right? That's what you need him to do, right? And I just can't see him scoring anywhere near enough that we need to stay in this division. Chris, Dunk, I don't know if one of you want to come in with that, but I'm struggling.
Do you reckon he'll even play this weekend? Because obviously he was away with Scotland, so he always comes back with a knock, doesn't he?
He only played 20 minutes midweek, so I'm hoping that it's fine.
He'll be on the bench.
it's a massive worry, Dykes. Like, I was one who was really excited when we got him. I thought, finally we've got a proper striker, no more loans. There's someone we can get behind. And apart from that purple patch when Charlie Austin came in, he's just not done anything. Like, some of the chances I've seen him miss, it's unbelievable. I just don't see him scoring goals to keep us up.
Chris, do we create enough chances for him? I've seen a lot online and I've seen a lot that he's got some defenders out there, and I don't disagree with some of the comments. Enough, because I don't think we do. I think Chair holds on the ball too long. I think Willock is too scared to do anything other than do a few little tippy-tappies, go side to side, and then ultimately it goes back, right? That's what I watched him at Bristol City, and that's all he did. We sort of run a little bit with the defender, look to whip it in and think that, and then just play it back. So I don't know. I don't think we create enough. But I also don't think that if he's good enough, I don't think he's making the right movements. I don't know. He's very static, hides behind defenders. What do you think?
I think that's a good summary. We definitely don't create enough. I think that's a fact. And I don't think anybody would dispute that. If he's given more chances, then I was going to say he'll score more goals. He's got more chance of scoring goals. And the same with any striker. But the movement issue is the one. There are times when we get the odd chance in the game, like a certain ball in, and it's like, oh, you needed to have been in this position. Kind of just felt like he needed almost like 6 more months just training with Austin to be like, this is what you need to do. Because like you said, one of you mentioned earlier, in that spell where it seemed like Austin kind of got Dykes under his wing, and we don't know what they were doing on the training ground or whether it was just the fact they were training together that Dykes picked up on a lot of this stuff, but it kind of feels like he's almost forgotten about those elements. But then you have like, you have the moment against Swansea and you're like, that is a ridiculous header. Like you've got, he occasionally shows this thing, and that's what leaves you kind of coming back for more to be like, oh, I can do it. In the long term, I don't think he's not the answer in the long term. In the short term, we don't have any other option, basically, really. Albeit on the last pod, my bold prediction was that Kelman would start more games than we think, which I still don't think I still think could happen. Or he could be... He's only going to be like shipped out on loan or go in January if we get somebody else in, because you can't... It's stupid to leave yourself with less bodies in the striking department. But yeah, if we manage to stay up, you'd sell Dykes for any kind of money you can get. But I still feel people might be shocked, but we'd still get a decent enough fee for him. I think teams know what he is. He still starts for Scotland. That adds value to you. Would a Millwall come in with a 2 million offer again? I don't know. Maybe a bit less. 1.5, you go, all right, we'll take that and we'll find someone that we think suits better the style of play we want to do. He did sign a new contract as well, remember? So that gives us a better position from a bargaining point of view.
Well, that was quite surprising, wasn't it? That new contract came out of nowhere. I thought he was going to go out in the summer. But I think you could make a point there. Like, his anticipation's not quite there in it. I don't think it ever has been. And I think when he had Austin...
I don't think you can teach it either, though, Jack. Can you? That doesn't matter how many sessions you have with Austin.
I think sure. A striker makes bad crosses seem like pretty decent, right? And he doesn't get enough crosses. He didn't get enough crosses in the right area, but he also doesn't make the best of crosses that are in his area. And that you just watch him and he's kind of on his heels. Maybe he's not expecting balls in at the certain points because of the change of style under each manager. But I think there's a key ingredient missing there in terms of getting on the end of things or making the best of it. A natural striker does make that movement multiple times a game. You just don't see that from Dyke. He's quite, as you say, he's very static in the box. And he's got one goal in his last 16 appearances at QPR.
That's outrageous. Is that not an outrageous stat, or is it just me?
This, mate. Away from home, one goal in 40. 4-0.
God.
What?
Wow.
Oh, my days.
Remember, like, Dykes had this run of scoring at home? Well, that goes back a long way. And goal in his last 40 away appearances, albeit not all the starts, a lot of them are. That was at West Brom. Another cracking goal. Another really good cross and header. But 1 in 40 away from home. Come on, Norwich, you know.
Yeah.
That's outrageous, mate.
Do you still think someone's going to buy him with that record?
Maybe let's cut that bit out of the pod, just in case any analysts fancy listening to our podcast to think about Dykes. But, okay, so let's take away the games this season. So that's 1 in, what, 23? If we played about 16, we played 16 games a season, something like that. So it was 1 in 23 away last season. The teams knew that stat. Like I said, there is still a reason he starts for Scotland. And funny enough, I was listening, can't remember what I was listening to, but someone was talking about Scotland and their number nine issue. And they were like, Dykes isn't a goal scorer. Che Adams isn't a goal scorer. Jacob Brown just runs around a lot. So they're like, oh, maybe we start Shankland just because he can score goals. But he works in that team. I mean, somehow, because Scott McTominay turns into like the world's best number 10 for somehow and seems to score every blooming game for Scotland. But if he's fancied for that, then kind of feel there's got to be somewhere, and therefore the value element does hold up. Still, the dream is, right, in the Euros, he gets a goal that suddenly adds more to his value. But, yeah, I mean, 1 in 40 is truly shocking for anybody who's outrageous. Considering backing him to scoring an away game.
Jack, I half believe that's not true, but because it's come from you, I know it is true. But I still feel if it come from anyone else, I wouldn't believe that was true.
That's the kind of stat you see on Twitter and you go, that's absolute bollocks. Who's made that up?
That can't be true. Is it true, Jack?
It is true, yeah. It's one of those where I've double checked that because I'm like, is that right? I mean, because you look at like Senny Dieng, he's got one goal in X amount of time. He only won in his last 23 away games for the club, so he's got a bit of a better record and he's gone. But yeah, it's again, there's a lot of things go into that, sort of, you know, his run and the way he plays, the way he's asked to play, the players around him, the confidence of the team, the losing runs. But we've been half decent away from home in the last sort of year, 18 months. Mm-hmm. So why is he not chipping in a bit more, you know? So yeah, it's a shocker, and I hope he kind of doubles his money and gets a couple of goals at Norwich. But as Ben alluded to, he's got to get some chances as well. He's got to get more than one chance a game or a couple of chances a game, because he's not a natural finisher and he's not going to put him away. You know, he's going to need 4 or 5 chances to get a goal. So, yeah.
But that's the reality, though, Jack, is that we won't do that. I don't think that about how good Marty is or how many passes we do or how many we keep the ball. We're not going to create that many chances. We need someone up there who's going to do that. Like, I know we keep banging on about it, but and we use Charlie Austin probably too much, but probably we use him because we've not had a great striker record with him in the last sort of 10 years, have we? And we use him, you know, Naki Wells, I mean, I'll take him in a heartbeat. I know he's not fit now, but, you know, someone like that, a poacher, a fox in the box. Someone was talking to me about Heide Helgesen the other day, and I literally was like, do you know what the question was? It was from a Watford fan, and he said to me, he's played for QPR, didn't he? Was he any good? And I was like, are you joking? My response was, like, he was unbelievable. Like, I would take him now. I don't know where he is, in Iceland somewhere, chopping down trees. I don't know what they do in Iceland, but I'd take him back now. Like, he was, do you know what I mean? I mean, like, we're so starved of strikers in this club, the history. We're still talking about Les Ferdinand. We still talk about Charlie Austin like he's a god, and he was a god. But what I mean is, we've just had no one even remotely like him, have we?
Well, Helgesen was class, wasn't he? I mean, that last season before he had a bad injury when we were in the Premier League. In all comps, he had 10 goals that season before he got injured.
Was it 30 in 70 games or something like that? Which is outrageous, really, considering QPR.
I mean, we are deprived. I mean, Hugel got 15 and he could have had a load more in that team.
Dykes and Hugel are quite similar, in my opinion, because with Hugel, he had about 4 chances a game and would score one goal.
Because
Easy was literally putting him on a plate for him and we'd be like, how's he missed that? How's he missed that? Okay, he's got one. With Dykes, it's like he needs 5 chances a game, but he gets half a chance. Like, you might get a Paul Smith cross who just hits him in the face because that's how bad his crossing is.
You're right. And you're absolutely right, Doug. I get the argument. That is a true argument. That is right. We don't create enough. But again, back to my point is, the reality is where we are now is that we don't have an Easy, right? And we don't have a bright Samuel running down the wing. We don't. So I know Ilias Chair, but I always feel Ilias is better when he just gets the ball and just goes on and does his own thing. You know what I mean? And maybe it was just, maybe he won't. It's difficult. Willick is just Willick. Maybe we'll talk about him. I'm fed up of talking about him, to be honest. But I don't know. Richards is, I mean, where are these chances going to come from? You know, you're looking at Dzel, and he, apart from that wonder pass to Andre Gray, which he's living off, I haven't seen anything to suggest that he can assist.
Yeah. What about goal of the season versus Borough?
Yeah, that's a fluke, wasn't it? Come on, we all know that, right?
Okay, let's categorically say now he definitely won't do that again this season. Because now we've said it, maybe he will.
Maybe he will.
But it's going to come in a 6-1 loss.
Yeah, but we would have scored. We would have scored. We would have had a moment that we could celebrate.
Armstrong, I'm half tempted to just stick him up top all the rest of December. Just give him every game up top all day. To see what he does. I know he loves to tap in. We talked about this, didn't we, in our WhatsApp group. He loves to tap in. But he gets in amongst it, though, doesn't he? I don't know.
But he doesn't last, mate. He won't last three games in a row.
Yeah.
That's the problem. We say it all the time.
That's what Dykes has in him. That's the good thing that Dykes does have in him. Endurance, and he doesn't get injured often, and he's always available. And that's the positive. But,
So, what's going to happen first? Dykes to score a goal or Brad to come back on the pod?
Good question. He's off today as well, and he hasn't even bothered to reply in the group. Outrageous. Like, you know what I mean?
There's an interesting angle they're talking about natural finishes and a real, you know, dearth of them for QPR at this century, you know, since the 10th century. I mean, looking what Thompson got over 20, Austin got 20 in all comps in 2013-14. And other than that, no one else has hit 20. I mean, you get people that have done quite well, Gallen, Furlong, and, you know, double figures regularly, and Hugo and Wells in that season got 15 each. But I think it's spot on. We need that fox in the box, that predatory instinct. But maybe this is where we need the manager to work on the system and the way we're creating these chances and the structure of the team. And I've got a bit of faith that he's going to sort that out. But we could be in that position where we're creating the chances and just not sticking them away.
Yeah, and that's the clear angle that he's going, that Fuentes is going for. Because the amount of times he mentions, we need to create more chances, that's what I want the team to do. It almost kind of feels like if we miss them, he's like, that's fine, because you've created them. And that ultimately is the key, because he knows, okay, well, it's only a matter of time until you start converting them. If you create enough, we will score goals. But, God, I mean, what we created on versus Bristol City, absolutely nothing. Oh. Literally.
It was nothing, was it? And it was frustrating to watch because it wasn't... to say it was worse than Ainsworth is harsh because I know what he's trying to do, but we didn't have a shot on goal all game.
Not on target, so, no. We had the. No. I did write this down as a positive because I went back to watch the highlights before we jumped on the pod because I was like, I've remembered very little from this. And we had a decent corner routine where Willock to, I think Powell on the edge, cut it across for Dizel. It was unmarked and it was like, it just didn't come at the greatest angle for a left footer. So you had to run basically round the ball and then try to whip it in. But I mean, obviously it went over and it wasn't on target. But I was like, oh, we've tried something from the corner. It's actually worked. This is an element. This is a positive.
Talking about the Zell and Colback, me and Dunk were at the Bristol City game and we were talking. I thought Elijah Bonner was quite harsh. I'm confused watching the game, what they offered that he couldn't. I don't know, maybe it was more defensive and I get it, but I don't know. He came on and I always think it's difficult when you come on with 10, 15 minutes to go to get into the game, especially for him. I feel like he'd benefit from starting the game, feeling the tempo, getting the ball early and getting involved. I feel like that would benefit him. I feel like he was a bit harshly. I feel like he should have played. Dunk, I don't know if you want to take over or add anything.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. We were waxing lyrical about him after the Rotherham game, saying how well he'd done coming in, hadn't had any starts and really took his chance. So it was a surprise and omission to see him those two kind of come back from suspensions and go straight back into the team. You can understand the experience of Colback, possibly Dizel. But it just felt strange. And it felt like with Dixon Bonnie, it felt against Robin, he was making those forward runs from midfield. Mm-hmm. And with Dizel and Colback in field, none of them make those runs. Our midfield was very flat. It was kind of get the ball, pass it, and they're all left-footed, which really frustrates me as the system just doesn't feel right. And it just kind of felt that I felt like Marty's first home game, didn't want to lose. They had Manning's first game for Bristol City, didn't want to lose it. And both teams were just like, oh, we'll just press and we'll do a little thing here, maybe a little bit thin there. And I'm not going to overcommit. Neither team overcommitting. And it just kind of felt that the game was there for someone to kind of run at a defence or break from midfield and just try and have that little bit more energy, which Dixon Bonner did against Rotherham.
Yeah, I'd like to start at Norwich. I think he could offer something on the counter-attack as well. And Rotherham, he certainly did feel his way into the game. He was a bit ropey first 10, 15 minutes, but really got a grip of it. And I think I was quite surprised to not see him start. I don't think Colback warrants a start at the moment, personally. I think Dizel's, red card aside, been pretty solid, been better than recent seasons, chipping in with a couple of goals. You can see that. But yeah, I think Colback's been off the pace last few games. He looks like he's a walking red card at times, dives into tackles unnecessarily. So yeah, maybe it's an experience thing. Maybe all Dixon Bonner was carrying a bit of a knock from Rotherham first 90 minutes and for the club. So, you know, I'd be surprised if he comes back in. I think he'll go experience again with Norwich in that, I think, go same midfield, but all chair comes in for one of them. But I would like to see Dixon Bonner get a run in the team. I think he certainly offers.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Something different to the other midfielders.
He was decent enough when he came on as well. It wasn't probably an easier game to come on than others. But he, I don't remember the first thing he did, whether it was like, it was a good tackle or like a good pass, but like his first involvement, I was like, it's really positive. It was almost as if him and Richards had had a chat when they came on together and they're like, right, you give me the ball and I'll give it to you, because it felt like they were just giving the ball to each other. And then Richards did lay the ball back to Dixon Bonner. I mean, the shot was horrific. I think it might have even been his wrong foot and like scuffed it wide, but he was in the right position. There was positive signs. But yeah, I didn't really understand why he didn't start. I think if you were him and the team got announced whenever it was, Friday, Saturday morning, you must have been thinking, well, I couldn't really have done much more last Saturday.
I think that also sends a message to like all the other fringe players that you could come in and play 90 minutes and actually do pretty well, but you're just going to get straight out of the team if that other player's back again, which I don't think sends the right message to the team. Like, he didn't do anything wrong to merit not getting in that starting 11. Just because an experienced player's back doesn't mean he suddenly gets back in to the starting 11. Colback has to earn it, because the thing is, the discipline for the whole club's been bad this season. We've got Smith out suspended again for this weekend.
Is he? Oh, God.
Obviously, we had Chair last week against Bristol City. We've had four red cards, which is the most we've had in years. Like, it's just when we're missing key players for key games, it's like.
Is that because we've got no one else? Is that because we've got no one else rather than the fact that it would normally happen? Is that not happen everywhere else, that the five yellows? I don't know. I'm just saying. We notice when players are available due to too many yellow cards. The red cards is obviously not okay, but I just feel like, I don't know. What do you think?
It's happened too often. Like, Chair being booked five times in 15 games.
That's
absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. Paul Smith, it's a similar, I mean, Chairs are more annoying to me because his are ultimately ill-disciplined. Kicking the ball away, doing this silly stuff that teams and players and fans all knew, right, if you do this at the start of the season, from this season onwards, you're getting booked. That should last three games until you go, right, I'm not going to flick this ball away because it's pathetic. And the Rotherham aren't going to take a quick free kick anyway. Like, Smith's,
this was harsh. This was harsh, though. His was harsh on
Bristol City. His fifth one was, because it wasn't. I thought it was a foul on him. Yeah. I think it might have been for his reaction, because he loves basically throwing his hands up in the air.
Yeah, they both really
exaggerated. It was his reaction, wasn't it? That's what it was. It's because it's deemed as dissenters that you can't shout or get cross with the referee anymore.
But Sinclair Armstrong's on four yellow cards, so you can bet your bottom dollar he comes on as a sub and gets booked this weekend.
When does it restart? Do we know?
January, isn't it? Is it after Christmas?
So the Premier League's 19 games in. So I think it, the Championship, I think it's halfway through the season. So I imagine 23 games is then you need to 10 for a for a suspension. But yeah, hopefully we'll move away from this kind of ill discipline because we have more of the ball. But we will see.
So we've got what, Clark Salter back, haven't we? And I read Reggie Cannon. Reggie Cannon's one positive, I guess, from everything. He looks a good player. It's a shame he got injured. Typical QPR. but we need to keep him fit. I feel like there's a few players that we have to, if we've got any chance, and I mean any chance, there's a few players that we have to keep fit. And I think that's Begovic, because we've got no one else. I think it's Cook. I think it's Field. I think it's Chair. And
probably
Dykes, yeah, which is outrageous. But I think if these, we have to keep these players fit and play, because I think without them, I give us less than half a chance. Jack, what do you reckon, mate? Am I wrong?
No, I think Kenneth Powell's got to be in there. And,
Kenneth Powell, yeah, you're right.
Top goal scorer.
Yeah, 3 goals and he got an assist. So he's got the most goal involvements in the squad. And he's one of 2 players to appear in every game in all comps this season. Can you guess the other?
What was the question?
Which other player alongside Kenneth Powell has appeared in every game this season for QPR?
I've got it in front of me, Begovic. So I won't guess this one.
Begovic.
No, he didn't play in the cup.
Man of the match versus Bristol City.
Go on, Chris, reveal.
Osman Kakai.
Ozzy, yeah.
No.
Yeah, mate. Ideally you want Reggie Cannon, you know, playing every game, don't need it right back, because I think he's a class above quite a few of our players from what I've seen early days. How long is he out for? Do you know? Is it a bad
back.
Yeah, he said today that he's
even if Clark Salter are back, which is crazy, but both back.
Yeah, and I think Cook's massively important as well.
We're much better with Cook at centre back. When he's in the team, we're much more solid. I've got no doubts.
He seen 4 in the games he didn't play, and Watford and was the other one he did as well. He didn't play, and we got absolutely demolished.
It's just who do we play next to him?
Yeah.
Oh, you want Clark Salter in there.
On the left.
On the left, they give you balance. And he's the best ball-playing defender we've got. And you can see under Marty, that's what he wants. He wants us playing out from the back. So a fit Clark Salter walks straight into that team.
I wouldn't be surprised if we go 3 at the back. Like, we play an extra centre-back and give one of them the licence to go in, you know, like move into the midfield. And if it could be a Clark Salter with his passing, I mean, you don't want Jimmy Dunn doing it.
But I feel like you said, going 3 at the back as well gives Reggie Cannon and Kenny Powell as wing backs that much more freedom to push on as well.
I want to see something different though. Like, I want to see something different. Like, I know that we're passing the ball better. I get that, which is great. But I don't know. I still want to see. Bristol City sort of ruined it a little bit for me. He's not bloody, you know, he hasn't got a magic wand. I get that. But I don't know. I still think. What do we think? Do we want to talk about Willock and Richards, or do we want to just leave it? Or is there any more to say?
I think Willock just was, again, sort of desperately looking around for Chair during that game. Because like you said, there were times when he was going down the line against the defender. The defender almost seemed scared because Willock was going to take him on the outside. And it was like, have you not watched this guy? Because we all know he's not going to do that. So if you don't know that as a defender, you haven't done your homework. He'd advance with the ball. And then it was like, right, I need someone 10 yards away. I need Chen 10 yards away from me so we can do 10 million 1-2s and we might get in. And he was kind of like, oh, he's not here. Oh, well, I'm going to have to go backwards then. But that's the game that we had. He didn't have, I don't think he had many options. Was he great? No, but he's not in a position now where we just play him and he's amazing. He needs Ilias with him. And but we knew that as soon as Chair was suspended, we were like, okay, this is going to be a struggle because all the play. Every player in that team, when they've got the ball, is like, okay, where's Chair? Because I've got to give him the ball. And as soon as he's not in the team, it's like, oh God, this is more difficult now. Who do I give the ball to? So it's like, oh, I'll give it to Willett by default. And yeah, it wasn't. But you said earlier, there were moments where it felt like he could get the ball in and he didn't. So is that, don't even know what that is. Is it not having faith that anybody's in there?
Dyke's not making the runs, isn't it? That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he should be worried about that, though, should he? He should be just getting the ball in the box. If he gets the ball in the box, it's a decent ball.
If Dykes hasn't made the run into the box, who's he hitting the ball into the box too?
Well, I know, but then you kind of make it evident that there's no one in the box. I don't know. That annoys me about Paul Smith. He hits the ball and it goes too long, too short. He never just gets the ball in the middle. Like, it's never a great ball. Do you know what I mean? I'm never like, oh, what a great ball. It's not his fault. It's someone not being in it. I always think, bloody terrible ball. I don't know. Any more Willick or Richards, Jack? You've not been around for a couple of weeks. What do you think?
I think Willick, I think it's a case study of seeing it. If he can get more fitness into his legs and can get more game sharpness, are we going to start seeing more confident, more aggressive, you know, a more independent Chris Willick away from just giving it to Chair in the left channel and then watching Chair try and do something? So you know, I think, you know, we need, like, if we're going to stay up, don't get me wrong, like, we're going to need Chris Willett to chip in with assists, goals, chances, something. You know, we can't, Ainsworth wouldn't have him because he didn't want passengers in the team. But I don't necessarily agree with a lot of what Ainsworth did. So, like, you know, in his tenure. But Willock is someone that, if he's happy, you're going to see a different player. So maybe we are going to get a bit more out of him once he's up to fitness. Or, he, you know, the other option, the other side of that is those hamstring injuries could have done him. He might not be the same player. He might not ever get back to that level that we saw under Warburton and under Beale at times. So, yeah, you know, Chair being back, Willett being back gives us a bit more of a chance at the weekend. But I don't know. On Taylor Richards, I'm not convinced yet. I think he looks really short of fitness. Obviously got ability, but he just seems to lack any sort of intelligence on the pitch in terms of, like, tracking back or knowing when people are running off him or when to release the ball. Just doesn't seem like he's all there right now. And
Jay Emmanuel Thomas vibes. That's what I was thinking the other day.
Yeah. I see where you're coming from with that. I mean, technically, you know, superb ability, but and left-footed, you know, but and probably can score a bit of a wonder goal if you gave him the chance. But you've seen flashes of Richards looking good. It's just, has he got the application to kind of knuckle down and really work for the team and, you know, become a key member? Maybe he can be an impact player. I can't see him being a starter personally. So I think we're down to Chair and Willock and Smith and Dykes, Armstrong. I mean, there are options until January.
There was just one thing on Richards. There was a point on against Bristol City where the ball got played to him and he's like rushing to the line to cross in with his right foot. I mean, he's so left-footed. Everybody in the crowd was like, this is going to be shit. And it was like a six-year-old's pass with their right foot. I just can't understand how professional footballers can't use their weaker foot for the most basic things. And because we had probably like a five-minute spell. Actually, I wanted to mention this at the start. We're like, the crowd was massively up. It's probably the loudest we've had it in ages, it felt. Like, and you were like, if we score at this time, it's going to, like, the reaction is going to be incredible. Like, that could be enough to spur us on and get the win. We obviously didn't get a goal. And this element was later in the game. And kind of the crowd was a bit more down by that. And you're like, oh, that's just a bit of a sign of where we're at. Like, where you needed, I'm going to say it, like, if that was Adoma, the ball he would have chipped in would have been decent. And I'm not saying Adoma needs minutes by any means. But I'm just saying, in that particular instance, you just needed one bit of quality. The ball comes in, and whether anybody's there to meet it and score, who knows? But just these things, we can't afford to be poor because we're not good enough.
Yeah, it's like there was a Bristol City fan put out on Twitter a video of Ozzie Kakko's cross at the second half.
days. We were right in front of it, weren't we? It was awful.
I'll tell you what,
absolutely wellied it, and it was the worst cross I've ever seen in terrible. My life.
But he actually had a good game, I thought. But then maybe Bristol City didn't have a lot going forward. But I don't think on Saturday he was, you know, there were bigger issues on that football pitch to why we didn't score a goal with him. But anyway,
he was good. I think people would have been like, oh crap, Kakai's against Mometi. Mometi's going to have him on total.
I thought he was great.
Mometi was nowhere near in that game. Kakai was great. But we're summed up as a team that he's clean through on that right-hand side. Everybody is screaming. You've got time. Wow. Get a touch. Have a touch. Get it down. He even looked in the box. And I'm not sure there was anybody quick there. You didn't need to play it first time. And it was like,
And the frustrating thing is he can cross the ball. He can put a good ball. I've seen him do it. Just it is the composure with him. He does lack quite a bit of composure in the final third, generally. You know, but defensively, it was pretty solid. Agree. I think he just got quiet. Actually, thought Smith tortured his fullback, but it's just the final ball. You know, I mean, I think I've seen Smith put in one decent cross in the last few games. There's a bank Rotherham maybe away. Yeah. And then Dykes near it, and that was a really good cross. But you're a good point about Adoma. I think it was Leicester. He kind of salvaged, I think, did a quick cross on the byline, and it fell. And that's what created all the havoc for Dizel to put it in. But also,
the rumor is that Adoma's out for a while. Anyway, just as an FYI, I don't know how long. But there's rumors that he's done something. So he's going to be out for a while. But just quickly, me and Dunk went to... I'm going to try something. This could fall really bad, by the way, so I really apologise. But me and Dunk were on our way to the game on Saturday, and we were listening to a podcast, and he did this weird quiz, and I thought we'd do it, right? So if this doesn't go well, to anyone listening, I'm really sorry. But we thought we'd try it, right? Some people don't like this sort of stuff. So, right. So it's a higher or lower. Quick game, two game, won't take long, right? See who can get to the end, right? So we'll start with Park Ji-sung, right? He is 5'9". Is Andre Dizel higher or lower in height?
Higher.
You all in higher?
Yeah.
Yes. He's 5'10". Maybe that was easier than I thought. Okay, right. What about Furlong? Not Paul Furlong. Darnell Furlong. Is he Doug, what are you looking at? You're not Googling it.
No, sorry. Sorry, message.
He's looking at his life-size Darnell Furlong photo next to him on the wall.
Darnell Furlong, is he taller or shorter than Andre Dizel?
He's got to be taller. He wins headers.
Did you give us Dizel's height, or we just going, like, you just
five
have the height
ten.
For the first?
Dizel was 5'10".
Yeah, I'm going higher again.
Higher as well.
Oh, God, maybe this is easier than I thought. Yeah, he's 6 foot. All right, here we go. Alex Smithies, is he taller or shorter than Darnell Furlong?
I'm going lower, Brucey.
Well, by process of elimination, because he's gone too high and he can't go for three.
Yeah. He's quite short as well, when Smithies.
I'd say he's taller.
All right. Jack, what do you say, mate?
Higher. I mean, he's taller. Higher.
He's 6 foot one. But Doug, you're out. Thank God for that. That's not terrible. Jack Robinson. Is he taller or shorter than Smithies?
Shorter, somewhere lower.
Yeah, shorter as well.
Yes, he is shorter. 5'11". He's a tough one. Ebrahizi, is he shorter or taller than Jack Robinson? Final one of this round.
I'm going to go taller, so higher.
What was Robinson again?
5'11".
If this is a trick question and it's the same, I'm going to be annoyed.
He's not the same. Yeah, he's 5'10", easy. I think he looks taller because he's bulkier, doesn't he?
I was going to say, I'm sure he was 6 foot. He's quite a built lad.
Nah, he's not, mate. He's not. There you go. These are off Wikipedia, so, you know, they might be wrong. So, Chris, you won that, mate. Well done.
There we go.
Well done, Chris.
There we go. One more quick one, then. Here we go. Right, Bidwell. Is 6 foot tall. Pavel Shoak, is he taller or shorter than Bidwell?
I wish they played on the same side of the pitch.
Taller.
I'm going to go higher. Lower.
Shorter. Yeah, lower. An inch shorter.
He's 6 foot one.
Oh, no.
He was quite tall, I think. I remember him quite tall.
I liked him.
Does that mean I've won straight away?
Well, yeah. We're not one, but he's still in.
Yes.
Right? Samba Takita. The walking yellow card. What is he, taller or shorter?
Taller.
Yes, he was 6 foot two.
Oh. Right against Arsenal.
I don't know why I've done this, but I've done Todd Kane next.
Boo.
Boo. Yeah, boo. 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 Short. He's definitely shorter as well.
Yeah, okay, he is definitely shorter. 5 foot 11. Here we go. Chris Willock. Is he taller or shorter than Todd Kane?
Shorter.
I'm going to say taller.
No, mate, he's shorter. He's 5 foot 10. What about Johansson? Is he taller or shorter than Willock?
Shorter.
Yeah, shorter, yeah.
Mate, Johansson is 6 foot, apparently, according to Wikipedia.
It's that Scandi blood.
It's the hair. Makes him look taller.
Anyway, there you go. We did it. We did it, Dunk.
All right, well,
apologies in advance.
Feedback, if you want us to carry on with another quiz next time, please give us some positive feedback. If you think it was shit, tell us as well.
I had to try to do something away from stats that Jack wouldn't know the answer to, so I did hide, assuming that Optostats wouldn't be looking at that.
All the comments are going to be, drop the quiz, lads. Go on.
Fair enough. Quickly then, Norwich, Norwich preview.
Kissing gate.
Chris, you were there, weren't you? You saw it all. That's the rumour.
Chris, no. You're 6 foot, aren't you?
I wish. I went through the photos from the kit reveal just to make sure. I was like, could have sworn. I was like, yeah, Chris Willock's probably just about got me. His hair's a little bit taller than mine.
I'm back. Don't question the quiz, mate. God. Were you there at Kissgate?
No, I wasn't there.
That was the rumour. The rumour was there when you were there.
No, I don't think there was any W12 podcast representation there.
What do we reckon then, Jack? Norwich? What are we saying? Tough. Winnable. I feel like Norwich aren't great.
Don't really have a good record against Norwich. And that doesn't count for much when, this is a new game. History's history. But we haven't won there at Carrow Road since, 2008 under Ian Dowie. Won 1-0. Matt Connolly got sent off and a Martin Rowlands goal. Secured the win.
I love Ryan Rowlands.
I loved him too. What a player. Winless in eight at Carrow Road. But, that's who knows? Anything can happen in Championship. There's no one to be scared about, in my opinion. Everyone's beatable. Yes, there's varying degrees of quality, but Norwich haven't been particularly good this season. Manager's been under pressure. If we can keep them out for early doors and sort of put a bit of pressure on, turn the crowd, anything can happen. But I'd go for a bit, 1-1, I think, is my prediction on that one.
Dunk, any changes to the team, mate? What would you do?
Well, obviously, we'd have to make some changes because Smith's suspended, Chair's back. So that could be a straight swap with the midfield three staying the same. Obviously, we've said that Reggie should be back, so I can see him coming back in as well. I was on a Norwich podcast before this one, and we were both kind of like, it could go either way. They weren't convinced they were going to win, and I wasn't convinced that we could get the win. So on that, I said it's going to be 2-1 to one team. I couldn't say who. I just see it's going to be a tight game, won by a goal, either way.
Oh, scoring two. Oh, Chris, what have we got? We've got three games in a week, haven't we? The next week?
Saturday, Tuesday.
Friday. We've got Preston.
Again, we had that last time, didn't we?
Yeah, they've decided to put Preston QPR on Sky. All the neutrals out there who are desperate for Friday night football. Yeah.
Big audience.
Yeah. The last time we played Preston on Sky, all they did was bang on about bloody Anthony Gordon's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy Dunn. Wasn't it Jimmy Dunn? Did we win 1-0? Was that Critchley's only win? Oh, I got that wrong, Jack.
No, I think this was a few seasons ago. I think it was an awful 0-0.
Oh, you're right,
They gave Gordon man of the match purely because it was his birthday.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
to be fair, he's turned into a pretty decent player off the back of that that game. I'm going to go 1-1 for Saturday. I don't ever at the moment feel confident enough to back us for a win, I'd say Cannon back in at right back, bring Clark Salter in alongside Cook, chair in for Smith. And then, I mean, yeah, we kind of talked about Dixon Bonner, but I can't see him being brought back in. Yeah, let's just hope we get a goal to cheer on. But Norwich are in a bad state. They want Wagner out. They just managed to beat Cardiff. If they hadn't won that, he would have been gone. Yeah, let's see.
I wonder whether the team fits a three at the back because we've got so many defenders available. I just wonder whether that's an option, isn't it? You know, with Clark sort of back and Kakai can fit in there, and it kind of feels like that might be an option to give. But then I don't know. Martin doesn't play like that, does he? I don't know. Anyway, yeah, I literally haven't got a clue. I think it might be Waddle, possibly. I mean, that Dykes stats has put me off everything. I think 1 in 40. I can't get over it.
I think like Jack said, he's going to end up with a brace this weekend. That's it. Yeah.
Leg brace. I hope not. I don't wish that. But no. More likely, an injury or a piece of goals.
Yeah. Cool. All right, fair enough, lads. Thank you for all joining. Thank you for everyone for listening. We're back next week. Let's hope we can get some wins on the board in the next week or so. Up the Dykes. Greatest on earth. You are.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.